passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Welcome. It is a holiday, but we have decided to honor ourselves by being here on President's Day. Thanks so much for making the time. We have a lot to do. A number of really cool guests will be coming up. Your phone calls around the corner. Let's start with some headlines. So this news just breaking here from Pete Thamel. Arizona is going to Missouri to hire Desiree Reed Francois, who has been at Missouri a couple of years and made some critical decisions there, but she has gone to a place that is in total chaos. Athletic director fired, football coach left after a surprisingly good season, but she takes over a mess, but they have a highly qualified person to do so. From Ross Dellinger, a lot happening in the world of college football as CFP's elite is engulfed in a power struggle. The G5 left just trying to survive. We'll talk about it with Ross coming up here in a few minutes. And if you are watching yesterday, South Carolina against Georgia, making history. I know a lot of conversation about what has been happening up in Iowa, but don't forget, the number one team in the country lives in South Carolina. 43 straight, really having an amazing season. Those records she is breaking, those are Pat Summitt records. On the men's side, remember we were talking about what Kentucky has to do to get back in good position? Well, they did it. They didn't just win against prohibitive favorite Auburn. They beat Auburn down. Just an embarrassing loss for Auburn. Calipari, a rare smile afterwards.
Please just lead my players, let them be young and learn, and keep attacking me. I may be the worst in the country. Just attack me and leave these kids alone, okay? Thank you. And yes.
John, early in the season, you got... Just following up on that, this is kind of the first time you guys have really had a true, like, just demoralizing game just in this building, demoralizing injury.
This was not a demoralizing game. It was a good team that played a really good game. What's demoralizing about a loss to Kentucky? When they play well. So I can't even begin to answer that. Do I look demoralized to you? Anybody think I'm demoralized?
It's kind of a testament to where you guys are.
Yeah. No, the point is, and this is what I want you guys to understand. I mean, our guys have been achieving at a high level. I mean, they've been, and oh, by the way, it's funny. I looked at the schedule the other day, and we're playing South Carolina, and they're 20-3. And they won seven in a row. And I said to my son, Steven, I said, you know what? This might be the easiest game of the next four. Looking at Kentucky here, even going to the road to Georgia, then going to Tennessee. And so for these kids to have grinded and be in the position, guys, come on, demoralized?
These are the standings in the SEC. Alabama at top. I thought Alabama lost all its assistants, all its star players. What are they doing at the top of the SEC? They're playing well because they may have the best coach in the country right now in Nate Oates. How about Charles Barkley? Breaking some news here. Calling out the NIL. Saying college basketball... He screwed up. He said, we screwed up college sports with the NIL thing. What we can do, the NBA, to get together with the colleges, because it is the wild, wild west on steroids, literally between you've got college coaches leaving to take assistant jobs in the NFL and things like this because they don't want to have to pay all the players. Okay. Coach Yo, who knows what it's like to be way down and come back and win in overtime. We'll talk about the last couple of games for the Rebels. And Chris Lowe on some of the college football coaches. Ross Dellie and Jesse Simonton. And I would like to invite a psychologist or a psychiatrist to analyze the two coaches that we showed at the beginning of the program. Calipari and Bruce Pearl and try to figure out which one was shooting straight with the audience. You got Cal starting off after the biggest win of the year, saying, don't blame the players, blame me. And then you had Pearl, who just got his rear end handed to him. They were a 9-point favorite, and they were literally humiliated at home, trying to act like it wasn't demoralizing. When you have to look at into the camera with a straight face and say, do I look demoralized? As you look like somebody just knocked your head off, the answer is self-explanatory. We'll begin with your phone calls right now at 855-242-728. And you wonder why the public takes these guys that make $10, $12 million a year with a grain of salt. Let's start with G, our friend in Atlanta. Hey, G, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, man, I want to rebuff that interview, fool you had on Friday. Mike Griffiths, he don't represent the UGA at all. I mean, what Griffiths says out of his mouth comes out of his mouth. It's not nothing that, I mean, concerning the UGA, because he even said that it was a disgrace that Alabama didn't give Dabo Swinney a interview for the head coaching job. Alabama don't want Dabo. If they wanted him, they would have hired him. You know? And I mean, and so like I said, Paul, it's just basically like having chicken salad and chicken shit. That's what he is.
Yeah, Jay.
And I mean, you know.
Well, you know, first of all, I like Mike a great deal. He's great reputation, great career. I think, you know, you just have to interpret what he said however you want. I reacted a little bit immaturely, I think, Friday afternoon when he said all he did. But I know what you're saying. It's Mike is going to get you to come up with a strong opinion one way or the other.
He'll never be you. Never. And he's a clown. As your lady said, but anyway,
okay.
I was just let you know I had a good day at dialysis. Everything's going good with me, Paul, and I just can't wait to listen to the rest of the show today.
Well, you know, G, what you just said is far more important than whatever Griff said. Always thinking of you, and you stay well and continue to fight this thing. Talk to you soon, G.
Take care.
Yeah, going through dialysis 3 days a week a little more important than what you think of Mike Griffith. Daryl is up next.
Well, first of all, I would like to congratulate the South Carolina women's basketball team. To win 43 conference games in a row, that's pretty impressive, huh? And to break past Summit's record. Let me say this about Calipari real quick, okay? Calipari is still the best coach in college basketball. There's no telling how many national championships he would have if it wasn't for the one and done. That's what's killed. That's what's hard, is he's losing these players and he's getting freshmen every year. And he's had to play these teams that's got seniors on, you know, juniors. And it's hard to compete against them teams, but the one and done, if it weren't for the one and done, there's no telling how many national titles Kentucky would have under Calipari as the head coach. Now, Paul, I got a question for you. What would you say the odds would have been if Michigan and Washington would have lost their conference championship games? What do you think the odds would have been for Georgia to get in the playoff?
Well, they certainly would have gotten in over Washington. Michigan probably would have still made it.
Okay, well, that actually put the rest that we stopped Georgia from three-peating there, right? I mean, that should put the rest to that. I mean, Alabama acted like that was a national championship game, and they sure played like it against Michigan. You know what I mean? I mean, I guarantee you, if Georgia would have got in that playoff, Michigan wouldn't have beat us. We would have won another national title. But they didn't stop us from three-peating. But Paul, here's the deal, okay? I mean, and this is something else right here. They insult, and I know I'm right on this. They insult Kirby Smart throwing his record 1-5. They don't appreciate. You heard Nick Saban say, Paul, how big of a role Kirby Smart played in the success of that Alabama football program when he was there. You would think they would appreciate that, but no, they don't. Just like they don't appreciate Nick Saban. They are one of the reasons that he walked out just abruptly. Just said, I'm done. You know, and I'm going to tell you what, let me say this, Paul. I think why is because I think it fed over from the year prior when they tried to get his assistant coaches fired. You notice he didn't fire them coaches. He found them another home, and he probably told them, don't worry, it won't be long until I'm right behind you because I'm not dealing with this. There's just no respect. They don't appreciate what he's done in the past. And he hired them coaches. Now I want to talk about Mike Griffiths on Friday, all right? First of all, Mike, I think he was on point, Paul, if you just read through all the mess that he said. Nick Saban coming back is not going to happen. Nick Saban's retired. He's not going to come back at 70-something years old and get back into coaching. I do not believe that. I don't know where Mike got that from. Me and Mike's had a run-in before. We used to get along fine, but Mike tried to tell me that Georgia could never win. JT Daniels was need to be the quarterback for Georgia, that they would never be able to win with Stetson Bennett, and he was wrong. I mean, I said, no, Stetson needs to be the quarterback. And then he unfriended me follow me on Twitter. That's fine. But here's the deal, Paul. I think Mike, we can revisit this 3 years from now, but I think you're going to find out that Mike Griffiths probably is correct. That guy ain't going to last no more than 3 years at Alabama, Paul. When they go 9-3, 8-4, they're going to run his ass out of there. And you know what? The next coach they hire, when he goes 9-3, 8-4, they're going to run his ass out of there. And then the next coach they hire, when they go 8-4, 9-3, then it's going to dawn on them, Paul. Then it's going to dawn on them just how much Nick Saban meant to that football program. That's when it's going to really set in, and then they're going to figure it out. Because, I mean, beating Alabama is not going to be the same as beating them when Nick Saban was there. And let me say this. I don't think he was – first of all, Georgia – Mike Griffiths might work for Dog Nation. He might be employed, but he's not a Georgia fan by no means. If I would say if he was any type fan, it's probably Tennessee, and I would definitely say Alabama is a close second, no doubt about that. But what he – Georgia ain't over. We're not going to overlook Alabama when we play them on the schedule next year. The only thing about the Texas game is the only thing that's getting all the talk is because they got a Formula One race up there at the same time, and Georgia fans are having a hard time getting tickets for that game. That's why that's the big talk. But we're not going to. Every game is important on the schedule. We're not going to overlook Alabama. They don't have to worry about that. I guarantee you, Kirby Smart will not overlook Alabama when we play them in September, and we're going to beat that ass. But Paul. You got to know that the Alabama fans, one of the coaches, okay, it was so bad that one of the coaches' father had to call into your show, feel like he had to defend his son, and I'm sure they got back to Nick Saban, and Saban said, you know what, I'm done with this crowd, man, I'm done with it. A coach, if he was on good terms with it, Paul, he wouldn't have just abruptly left. He would have stayed one more year, gave them plenty of time to find who they want, make sure everything was lined up, but that ain't how he did it. He just left. And he left for a reason. See you, Paul.
Okay, we've gotten the word from Mount Sinai. We'll take a short break. More to come on President's Day. We're back right after this.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back. Getting so much reaction to Daryl's call, and I know some of you are asking me, why didn't you say anything? There was never an opportunity. Did Daryl even take a breath? Not a single one during that call. Bash is up next.
Bash Brother Paul, thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Bash.
I'm going to get straight to it, and I got some bones I got to pick with a couple callers. First, John from Louisville. Shut your mouth, you freaking hypocrite. Every time you call onto the show, you look like Marty McFly and Doc had a baby together, like an old-ass man with Benjamin Buttons. How are you going to call into the show and say we need to put Bash on a timer? You're the longest talking caller on the show, and at least when I call in, I know the first rule, which is to answer my own call, John. So shut your mouth, you freaking hypocrite. Now, my next victim, I-Man. Kudos to you, Paul. Last week when I called into the show and I wanted to make a friendly wager between two Montgomery natives, between Alabama and Auburn in basketball, you were like, Bash, I don't even think he knows they're playing today. And the whole week didn't say a single word about Auburn basketball. Just kept replaying his diss track about Nick Saban and how he quit and how the Bammers' good days are over and blah, blah, blah. How about you actually celebrate your own team success and quit worrying about your rivals' success themselves? So, I-Man, you're a freaking hypocrite. I can't stand a word you say. And if you have any balls, you would actually address these comments and actually support your team. Oh, wait, I bet you're not going to say anything about them because they lost to Kentucky over the weekend. Unlike myself, because I'm a fan of the Colorado women's basketball, we lost over the weekend by one on the road at the Buzzard. We'll bounce back and we'll win that championship. Paul, thank you. Have a great day and roll Damn Tide.
John is up next from Louisville.
A lot of angry callers today, huh, Paul?
Man, John, you need to, what did he say? Shut your mouth.
I don't know. You're a freaking hypocrite. But he made my case about putting him on a timer. We'll just leave it at that. Hey, reference to the two coaches, clinically speaking, they both are narcissistic. They suffer from inflated egos. John Capelli, what did he say? He said, put the blame on me, try to play the victim card. But, hey, we've been putting the blame on him, not his players. As for Coach Pearl, I think he said there's nothing wrong with losing to a, how do you say, Kentucky team that plays well. Yes, there is at home. So they're both trying
but,
to.
But, hey, there was so much to unpack there. Because, I mean, it really was demoralizing losing to Kentucky. That shows you how far Kentucky has fallen, that he would have to somewhat defend losing to Kentucky.
Exactly. And by the way, he needs to lose that T-shirt. Hey, Paul, I've got to rush in. We'll go watch the Daytona 500 at 4 p.m. Don't hate me and don't take me off.
Is that today? Bracket. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, they pushed it back a day for rain.
Oh, shows you how closely I'm following racing right now.
I know. Oh, it's the rights of spring.
Well, I don't know. Listen, go ahead, John. Go ahead. But, you know, I don't know about you, but I think Richard Petty will win this the Daytona 500.
Yeah, you haven't been following it for a little
while. Okay. I'm sorry.
So, Paul, I know you've had some angry callers on, but let me tell a nice story on President's Day that honors U.S. Presidents, Black History Month, and college sports, if you don't mind. It'll be real quick.
Not at all.
First of all, let me wish President Jimmy Carter, who's in hospice care, good health.
By the way, he's been in hospice 1 year.
I know, and he's coming up to number 100, but I don't think he'll make it to October. But
that is an all-time great hospice run.
Yeah, you can debate his presidency, but you can't debate he lived his Christian faith.
So. No. Listen, I don't think Jimmy, a lot of people would have failed at that point in time, but he will be judged on what he did. He's one of the greatest post-presidents we've ever had, if not the greatest.
So here's a quick story.
One of the worst presidents, but that's beside the point.
Yeah, I was thinking what president had a successful sport career, and you could say H.W., Bush, he was the youngest pilot in World War II and came back, went to Yale in 2.5 years and played baseball, and his team went to the first two college baseball's World Series. But I think the one we need to really honor is President Gerald Ford at Michigan. He was a linebacker and center, played on two undefeated seasons and national titles with Michigan, went to the East-West Shrine Game and Collegiate All-Star Game. And he turned down pro offers to go to Yale. And at Yale, he coached both boxing and football. But this is the thing that makes Ford so interesting. During his senior year, Georgia Tech coach and AD director Bill Alexander refused to let the team play against Michigan if they were going to play their black player named Willis Ward. And Ford was going to quit the team, but Willis Ward talked him out of it, and he did play. And by the way, Georgia did beat or was beaten by Michigan. And Arthur Miller, you know who he is, he led the student protest.
Sure. I think I'm pretty familiar with Arthur Miller. Hey, John, thanks for the call. We're up against a break. We have a guest waiting, and we can't wait to head to Oxford, Mississippi, and talk to Coach Yo. We're back after this.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. We just showed you during that break the standings of the SEC. And if you've been following Ole Miss's women's team lately, you need to go to a cardiologist today. Coach Yo joining us from Oxford. Coach, I don't understand this. Last two games, I mean, you're down by absurd amounts of points. You come back both times, winning in overtime against Florida and Mississippi State. What is going on? How are you, by the way?
Well, thanks, Max and Paul, and thanks for always being a joy for me, because the last two games have been very stressful, to say the least. And so, you know, I can't explain it. I guess my team just wanted to make it a little interesting for the viewers and the fans.
So if I heard you correctly, down by 16 in one game, down by 8 in the other, and you win both games. I mean, what? I one hand, I want to compliment you, but I'm like asking a coach, how do you get down by 16?
Well, I didn't know how we got down by 16. And at halftime, like, how do you even plan for this at the Florida game? Like, I kept looking at my staff. And I just said, I'm speechless. Like, why are we even down this much? But both times, it never felt like the game got away from us. It just felt like we just didn't capitalize on opportunities, both on the offensive and defensive side. And then once we started to do it, we were able to get back in the game and gut it out.
Seriously, Coach, I mean, we're joking, of course, but when you're down by that many, I know coaches have a lot of things to say to their players, good and bad and motivational and smart, but how do you convince the ladies, okay, we're still in this, both against Florida and against Mississippi State?
Well, what happened was the game before those two games, we got down pretty bad at home by Texas A&M, and I completely ripped my team. And we, unfortunately for them, we had a bye week. So they didn't touch a ball for like 2 days. And my thought was, you know what? We may not win every game, but we will never quit, you know, because one of the things that we are known for, and Chancellor Boyce have always said to our team, is every time he saw us, he knew we would be the hardest working team on the floor. And so, you know, like I said, we didn't touch a ball for 2 days. We just played defense, got after it. I really challenged and pushed them. And like my staff, I was like, I was like a tornado up in that office, in the practice facility. And it's really the players. It has nothing to do with me. They decided that they would never quit again. And I didn't have to say much. We just kept chopping wood.
Yeah, and again, I realize there's a couple more weeks, but just remembering your amazing run last year out west when we had a chance to talk to you a couple of times, I'm guessing, I'm not a coach, I punch buttons for a living, but I'm curious, those experiences coming down 16-8, winning in overtime, to say the least, those help you as you get closer to tournament time and in the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, listen, no one wants to be down and have to win two overtime games. But I remember our men's team early in the year, they were like winning really close games and people were critiquing them. And I'm like, guys, they're getting better and better because they're learning how to win games in spite of. And so the fact that we're learning our lesson on how to win games in spite of is huge right now. And hopefully, and honestly, when we got into overtime versus Mississippi State, I didn't have to say a word because we just beat Florida after being down 16 and winning in overtime. My team was incredibly confident, but I do not want to make this a normal thing.
We're talking to Coach Yeo from Oxford. Coach, I'd like to broaden this a little bit because last week was truly remarkable in many ways for the women's game. And I know women have fought so hard, but some of the things I heard and – you know, there are various reasons. Caitlin Clark, obviously one of them, the All-Star weekend brought a lot of eyes to women's basketball. But, I mean, I'm hearing from respected people, and I know we're not trying to diss one versus the other, but I was listening to Christine Brennan the other morning. She's saying, listen, I'm not looking to offend anyone here, but the women's game is far more exciting this year than the men's. And I know for someone who has fought so hard like you, I'm not sure how you feel about that, but I'm guessing you feel pretty good.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I feel like women's basketball, and I've said this in one of my pressers, like, we are here. We are a legitimate entity. We are worth being invested in. If you watch that game last night, yesterday, I mean, it was a blockbuster. In-state rivalry, two great teams. Caitlin Clark is over there balling out of control. You know, Dawn is being Dawn, and the SEC is just showing out. I mean, there's just great basketball all over the United States right now, and it's a quality product. Do I think that there's room for improvement? Yeah, I mean, eventually I'd like to see us possibly go to a 24-second shot clock and add a defensive, 3-second defensive rule. But as far as the rules, I mean, listen, I'm a sports fanatic. And when I watch the men's game and there's 4 seconds left and they can't call a timeout and advance the ball, I'm like, come on, how are you missing out on allowing coaches to be their best self? Like, we really are able to be pure tacticians for 40 minutes or 45 minutes of the game on the women's side. And I think it's just going to get better and better.
Well, you know, I mean, John Wooden, who many believe is the greatest coach of all time, always praised the women's game as the purest form of basketball. And I know you live it. I mean, we're just fans, but it is. And I know it just didn't start this year. A lot of the conversation started because people like you and Dawn and others said, listen, it enough already. It's time for the world to pay attention. But did you feel, as you've promoted this game fervently, that was there a turning point? When do you think the rest of us started paying attention a little bit more?
Well, I think what helped was the parity in the game. For the longest, there were just like three teams, Stanford, you know, Tennessee and UConn, you know, and then South Carolina got involved and Notre Dame got involved. And now UCLA is involved. And then USC, Juju scored 51 points the other day. And so the parity in the game has been great for our game. And I think that's what has allowed people to pay attention. I would like to give, I think that the exposure our game is getting to, like our games are way more accessible as they've been ever before. Even in the W, you can watch a game on Twitter Live. Maybe that's not like a conventional way or traditional way, but it is access. And I think more access we give to women's basketball, the more people will enjoy it. Because I have not had one person come to one of our games and said they hated the experience.
Well, I'll say this, Coach, and I've gotten to know you and a number of the other coaches as we make our travels, but the coaches of the women's team, to me, I'm sure I'm going to get in trouble for saying this going to the men's tournament in a few weeks, but they're just friendlier to deal with. I mean, some of those male coaches are grouches. I mean, I can't wait to see you when we get to Oxford. We get to Lexington or South Carolina. I mean, to me, it's just so much more fun.
Yeah, I mean, we enjoy what we do, and I think everyone does. I mean, I don't know. It's hard for me to speak on the other side because I'm not on there.
Call out to all the men coaches that you think are grouches.
well, mine across the hall isn't. So he's a good dude. And so, but I mean, we understand that right now, promoting our sport is incredibly important. And we're not trying to kiss up, and it's just who we are. There are some really cool personalities in our league. You know, I get people fired up. Either you love me or hate me. There's no in between. But at the end of the day, we're great coaches, we're great ambassadors, and we love what we do.
But I think, just speaking of you, I'll remember last year, I think you beat, was it Stanford that you upset?
Yeah.
And a lot of coaches would have just simply, you know, we tried to get a hold of you out on the West Coast, and you know, a lot of coaches, and I can name a few, would have been too busy. You made yourself available, and it was great. We all had fun with it, and I'm not here to opine on anyone else, but I think sometimes you do have to take a different route if you're going to go where you are taking your program.
Exactly, and I just think exposure is necessary. I don't turn down any interviews. Like I sometimes do too many. You know, I can't tell you how many church functions and Rotary clubs I've spoken at. shout out to both of them. But this is the platform and that I have, and I want to promote that women's basketball is top tier, you know, and legitimate. And I'm just excited to be a part, and I have a platform to speak about it, and I'm going to shout it to anybody that will listen.
Well, we are here, and we can't wait to talk to you again, and all the best the next couple of weeks, and then the tournament in 3 weeks, and we will see you there and in the big dance. Thanks so much, Coach. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks so much, Paul. You're my dad's favorite show and my husband's favorite show. And now I've become a fan ever since we've had a relationship. Right. So thank you very much.
We love you. And I'm serious about what I said. When we were on campus, you were far more exciting to talk to than that goofy guy named Lane in the football office.
I'll make sure he gets the message.
Okay. Thank you, Coach. Great to talk to you.
Thank you.
Coach O joining us from Oxford. We'll take a short break, and we are back right after this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, welcome back. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Adina is up next.
Hey, I'm in the car going down 65, so I'm going to pull over so I don't lose this call.
Well,
hey,
bet.
I'm heading down to the Legacy Awards tonight, and I'm assuming since you're on the air, you're not going to be there.
No, I'm sorry not to be there.
Oh, you keep running from me. Anyway, I was wondering, you know, it's honoring Mr. Beamer and Coach Bowden, but I am so excited because by some miracle I saw that pop up and I was able to get one ticket, like, almost to the front. And I hope at this little pre-party thing. Have you been to it before?
You know, I mean, I'm aware of it, but I don't believe I have been to this particular one, no.
Okay. Well, this is what I have planned. This is where I'm going to get to really talk to Nick for like 2.5 seconds and tell him what he has meant to me. And on that note, I must tell you, Paul, when my life went to hell in a handbasket as a kid and then 3 years ago, it was football and people like you that kept me breathing without ever knowing about it. So I want you to know that people may laugh about that or whatever, but when people are holding on, you and football have kept them in the game. So thank you.
Well,
we're just being a
listen,
cheerleader.
Adina, thank you for saying that, but it's people like you and your stories of going through what you have been through, to me, are what this should be all about. And I never take that for granted, and I never miss an opportunity like this because you know, everybody goes through various things, but your story is a little more complicated than just your average phone call.
Oh, but Paul, listen, you kept me going, football kept me going, and then now it is turning a corner to the state level. I mean, it is going to be statewide before it's over, and people's lives are being saved. It is a beautiful story, but next year when I start calling, I'm never going to be like sad, or I don't want it to be, you know, people to go, oh, there's that, you know, whiny, because that woman that just called, I have never watched a complete women's basketball game, but because of what she said today, I'm not going to miss one. I mean, that woman is inspiring. She did it when it wasn't, you know, she did it when it was hard. So I hope she's listening. Because
yeah, you know, I'm glad you said that because so many. I've been around the women's game a long time, and I was at Tennessee when Pat Summitt was just getting started, and you compare that versus today. I mean, it was considered inferior, and today, and you know, we're about to hit March here, and you're going to hear commentator after commentator talk about the difference between men and women's, and it's not to disparage the men's game. There's nothing quite like March Madness, but during the season, the women's game is far more entertaining because you know the players. They do come back, and it's a more pure game, as we said.
Yeah, we're looking for pure in this day and time, so I appreciate somewhere to put my attention, but I just want to thank you, and I hopefully I'll get to thank him tonight.
You bet. Let me, Dina, give me a report when it's over. Thank you so very much.
I will.
It's always a real treat to hear from you. Swamp Dog is up next. Good afternoon.
Hello, Paul. Thank you for taking my call again.
Thank you.
I want to talk to you about a couple of your colleagues that are somewhere else today. You probably know who I'm talking about, Marty and McGee. You know where they might be today?
I knew they were in Daytona the other day.
Yeah, they're probably still there, yeah. And I'm like you. I like NASCAR, but Richard Petty is my all-time favorite. But right now I got Chase Elliott. I like Chase Elliott. He's he's Billy Elliott's son. They're Georgia boys like me, so I go for them. But I want to talk about Marty Smith a little bit. Wouldn't he be great in a old Western where he rides into town, goes up to the saloon, you know, get a beer at the saloon, and runs into Matthew McConaughey? They have a little square off in there, you know. You could be the bartender behind the bar with a shotgun, tell them boys to get out if they want to fight it out, you know. Don't he look that way to you?
Yeah, I think you may have just given Marty a new lane as a you know, head to Hollywood and do a remake of Gunsmoke.
Yeah, he'd be good on Gunsmoke.
He could That's be Marshall Dillon, couldn't he?
He looks like one of those characters on Gunsmoke from back in the day. He talks like one.
That's a really good idea. You don't mind if I steal that from you and call my agent in Beverly Hills right now.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.